Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. HRN is food radio supported by you. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
Forever Cheese, a leading importer of cheese and specialty food, has sourced exceptional products from Italy, Spain, Portugal, and Croatia for 25 years. Offering a wide selection of artisan cheese, charcuterie, nuts, crackers, preserves, and more, their products are sold in stores nationwide. Forever Cheese seeks out the best of the Mediterranean and focuses on sharing stories from their family of producers. Each product has a unique story, and their goal is to celebrate each one. From Drunken Goat to genuine Fulvi Pecorino Romano, Mostarda to Mitica Marcona Almonds, and Duya to Jamon Iberico, Forever Cheese is proud to offer products they love from people they believe in. Their passion, quality, and range are unmatched. Learn more at forevercheese.com and look for their products in a grocery store, restaurant, or specialty food shop near you.
Bank.
I am Chopper Iwan.
And I'm Dan Saladino.
And we've kidnapped Dan Saladino for this episode of Agave Road Trip.
Help me.
Agave Road Trip is a critically acclaimed award-winning podcast that helps Greek exporters better understand agave spirits, rural Mexico, and agave landscapes.
Yes, and this is an episode that Dan actually proposed to us because we run out of ideas.
So,
Yeah.
Well, so I was just so fascinated on this journey through Oaxaca, all the different ways in which we are seeing agave. And we've seen fields and slopes filled with agave. We've seen what are obviously farming systems where maize is broken up into sections surrounded by lines, strips of agave. And I was just wondering, you know, if you are driving through Oaxaca on an agave road trip as we are, what to expect when you see these different landscapes? How does agave feature in the landscape in different ways? And so, yeah, that was why I came up with that idea, agave landscapes.
So, you know, I've got a couple thoughts on this, but my biggest thought on this is so Chava. Right?
Thanks, Dan.
You know, it feels to me like there's got to be, when you look at the agave with all the stuff growing around it, whether you're talking milpa or you're just talking the weeds or whatever you're talking about, like, there's something about, to me, the genetic diversity of that, the biodiversity of that, rather, that's important. But it feels to me like what you really want to get to the core of is how beautiful it is.
Well, I think that's part of it, and because it's obviously visually stunning, and that's why I think that caught your eye, literally, then. But I also think that something really interesting about this is that different ways of planting, different ways of distributing the agave. Think of this like a landscape artist or a landscape architect. Different ways of building different types of gardens of agave mean different things. Does that make any sense to you, Lou?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, it does not to me. It does to Dan. Well,
and we've had some fascinating conversations with farmers and agave spirits makers, in which they've made reference to the role that agave plays in the landscape. And there are, I think, based on what I've been listening to, types, varieties of agave that are more suited to giving stability to the soil or growing on slopes. So I think the diversity of agave also explains how it's been used over thousands of years by farmers to create these landscapes, as you mentioned, like they are architects of the land.
I love this with a passion. And I think that, think about, Like right now that we're in the Mixteca, we didn't see that many agave species, right? We mostly saw some mutant version of angustifolia, that it's a massive espadin, which they call horno, and we saw papalometos, which are potatorums. And the tiny potatorums, they were not using that as fences. They were not using that to protect the soil not to be washed away by the rain, because that's a tiny agave. It's more like the potatorums were like sort of sparkled, like, you know, just thrown around as like little elements that almost like beauty marks on the landscape. Whereas the guys, the homers, you know, like the muscular guys were the one doing
it. Homers?
Homer, as in the truck.
Oh, homers. Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, well, like, sorry. You know, the muscular kids were these massive espadins. And I would even say that they selected to work with these really big espadins because they are very suited to carrying this weight of the soil.
You know, so to try and get into your heads with this, with something that doesn't really add up much for me, I'm wondering if also there could be something that reflects that brick wall that we saw Lalo building to direct the waters. If maybe some of that landscape architecture you're talking about is literally the agaves redirecting water to some of those plants.
Well, look, so our sound engineer that is here with us inside the car.
Is he saying no?
Roy has a sound that he's going to put into the edit to identify himself as a human. He's not a robot, we swear.
Please verify you're not a robot. Select all images with gringos.
He actually walked through the... Okay, there's some military, so everybody looks sharp. Okay, they just passed.
No, it's okay. It just looks like we kidnapped you guys. They'll be fine with that.
But Roy actually walked into this structure, and when he came out of there, I found it really interesting, Dan, that you asked him, what do you feel? Right?
Yeah.
You like, and I think what, I mean, I was overhearing the conversation, but I think he said that he felt that he transitioned from nature to something that felt engineered, no?
Yeah. And at the same time, there's an idea also that I've included in Eating to Extinction, that monocultures do not exist in nature. And I think when the early farmers, or the earliest farmers in this part of the world, would have started to interact with all the different wild varieties of agave, of maize, of beans, none of this would have existed in a monoculture. And likewise, when they started to domesticate and create fields of food, they would not have created monoculture. So to me, what's fascinating about agave is seeing clues in the 21st century landscapes here of how farmers thousands of years ago would have planted agave with beans, with maize, and created diverse landscapes. And the agave would have not only provided pulque or aguamiel, but also structure, stability, yeah, to the land.
Well, have you seen anything on your many, many travels? Have you seen anything like that in other environments, that kind of like another plant that served that purpose, where maybe they couldn't grow agave or didn't grow agave?
It's everywhere. So if you look at all farming systems in all parts of the world, you will find examples of so-called intercropping. I've recently been in northern Spain, which very different to Oaxaca, but in some cases hilly, mountainous, lots of marginal land that isn't easy to grow crops in. And what you find there historically is spelt, so it's like
wheat?
An ancient form of wheat.
Yeah.
And what the farmers there would have done, they would have intercropped that with the bean varieties, the legumes, indigenous to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Spelt has been in northern Spain for 2,500 years. And the spelt grows really tall, and you need some support. And that's exactly what the legumes, the bean, provided structure to that farming system in the way I think agave must have provided structure to the farming systems of the ancient people of this part of the world.
And I mean, I love that. And you know, like when we're on top of one of the hills and we're admiring some of this, it was almost like, you know, the lines, not all the lines that they were making with the agave were straight lines, right? There were some that were curved. And it was of such elegance. You know, like there's many ways to draw a curve, but these curves were just like if somebody with a great hand had drawn that, like if a giant had come there, the Picasso of the agriculture, and just made these curves.
And when we were looking down at that, Chava, you also mentioned that the agave would actually have protected the maize from animals, livestock, cattle, for example.
Yeah. That was a good point.
Yeah. And also, you know, it would have been something that might have been a really clear indication of where this is my land, this is where it ends, and this is where your land begins.
And you know what?
It makes me wonder, though, when that agave reaches maturity, do those people fight over whose seats they are?
Well, like a neighbor's fence, you know. Yeah, is this your fence or mine?
Yeah, right. Who's painting it? Yeah.
But I think, you know why I believe this discussion is so interesting, Lou, because, again, like, I think that we are tremendously fascinated with agave and the relationship that it has with humans, right? How humans have interpreted agave in many ways, shapes, and forms. One of those interpretations is what we love to drink, which is agave spirits. But now what I think what Dan is suggesting is that we're almost in front of something that it's almost an architectural element, and it's also a building block of agriculture. And I think we've mentioned this in some ways and forms before, but I don't think we've ever gotten to this clarity or ever thought about this with so much precision.
But also, when you think about the daily, potentially the way in which it would have been a daily source of those sugary tears as well. So, you know, to have that as part of your system, as part of your mix of crops, along with the fibers that the leaves would eventually give, along with the, I mean, one of the most mind-blowing things on this trip has been you, Chava, handing me some of the cooked agave to eat, and this fleshy, caramel-like, fibrous, sweet food was mind-blowing. So if I was a farmer here centuries, thousands of years ago, I would want agave as part of my system.
Yeah. You know, it makes me wonder, and this drives Chava nuts, but I like to think about every single one of these episodes. What does this mean to a gringo bartender, right?
Hmm.
And I think it's a very easy answer, but go.
No, please.
Oh, I think that it's, you know, like when a gringo bartender is talking about mezcal, I think all of them, or at least the ones that I know that are extremely excited about this category, want to tell people this is bigger than what you're drinking. There's a bigger, larger story behind this drink. And that's the pulse that you were talking about. There's something about this drink. It's not only that it's delicious. It means a bunch of other things. And I think by thinking of the many purposes and the many riches that the agave has, the gringo bartender is going to be able to share this larger story with more tools.
That would add to my experience if I was drinking an agave spirit, to know that sense of history, of the landscape I'm drinking, the stories of people over millennia that I'm sharing in effectively when I'm sipping that drink. It, as you say, Chava, it's a much, much bigger story. And surely every drinking experience is improved by that bigger story.
I think what you each said was beautiful, and we should just go have a drink now.
I'll be more than happy to do that. Guys, it's been a full pleasure. The day is ending. See you soon.
Hasta pronto.
This has been Agave Road Trip, the podcast that helps gringo bartenders learn about agave spirits. Your hosts are Lou Bank and Chava Peribán. Sound engineering by Roy Sierra. Theme song performed by Gabriel Oliveira and Mark Rico. Sign up to become a road tripper and listen to more episodes at agaveroadtrip.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, please let us know. And if you hated it, recommend it to your enemies. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. Lou is in charge of our social media, so if he happens to sound like an old man, forgive him. He is one. Agave Road Trip is a production of 10 Angry Pitbulls, Inc.
Agave Road Trip is powered by Simplecast.
Thank you for listening to Heritage Radio Network. Heritage Radio Network is food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. To subscribe to the Heritage Radio Network newsletter, enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with Heritage Radio Network on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find Heritage Radio Network at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. Heritage Radio Network couldn't do that without support from listeners like you. Become a part of the food world's most innovative community today. Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the Heritage Radio Network family by becoming a member. To become a member of the Heritage Radio Network, click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Heritage Radio Network can become addictive. Programming you hear on Heritage Radio Network can drive you to eat, drink, and listen to more programming on Heritage Radio Network. If it drives you to drink, please do not drink and drive. Drink responsibly. Eat responsibly too, and listen to Heritage Radio Network responsibly. To listen to Heritage Radio Network responsibly, wear protective earbuds. While wearing protective earbuds, do not drive or walk. Sit in a comfortable chair. If that comfortable chair has a hard seat, please remember to get up and stretch every 30 minutes. If you get up and stretch every 30 minutes, do not stretch beyond your abilities. Stay within your defined stretching capacity and consult a doctor who specializes in stretching. If you do not have a doctor, listen to all the shows on the Heritage Radio Network. There has to be at least one doctor among the Heritage Radio Network podcast hosts. Thanks for listening. Agave Road Trip out.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Aweli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.